FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. And, well, market seems to be listless. Precious metals consolidating. Oil, we don't know what it's going to do. Well, whenever we get in a funk and we're not sure where the markets are heading, then it's time to check in with Nick Santiago in themoneystocks.com. Make sure you check that out. And, well, Nick, as always, you are welcome. And we got kind of directionless, kind of muddy markets. They just are not showing trends. They're trendless, right?
Absolutely. We are looking at trendless markets at the moment. One thing that I think all your listeners should take away from is when the volume is light, look for upside. When the volume gets heavy, look for downside. It's really just that simple. If you look at all of the declines that we've seen since the start of May, when they come down, they come down with heavy volume. When the markets reverse back up, it's with lighter volume. And we've been looking really at light volume ever since October 9th. And that was after we had that big, big sell-off on October 8th. So the October 8th sell-off had about 101 million shares traded in the spiders. October 9th had 65 million shares. Today, just so your audience gets a view, we have been looking at roughly an average of 50 million ever since. So light volume, just give the market favor of the upside. Once you do get a sell-off with volume, then you start to look at the downside. But right now, it's a pretty dull tape overall. And it's a trendless market. We've just been chopping around in a range since the July top, which occurred on the 26th of July. And again, we just remain in that range. We're now testing the high end of that range at the moment.
Well, that's interesting, because basically that's the way the market behaves in a bear market, is that increases happen on light volume, but major downturns happen on heavier volume. So you're saying we're in a bear market at this point?
No, we're not in a bear market yet, because price remains above all of its key moving averages, and the trend on the underlying bigger timeframes is still up. So we have to always look at the primary trend. So we're not in a bear market, but what I've been calling it is a bear phase. So really, since the start of May, we had a big, big sell-off into June. Then we put a June 3rd low in, and then we rallied up into July top. And then we had some major sell-offs in the month of August, three of them, in fact. And then the markets rallied back up towards the highs, didn't quite get to them or break them. But then we had that big sell-off in early October. And now the markets have, you know, rallied back up above the moving averages again, and they're very close to testing the old highs. So whenever I see this, you know, it's really a trendless market. It's just basically going up to the high end of the range, then pulling back down. But one thing that has been happening that's positive for the market is since the May low, we have made higher lows on the charts. And anytime you make higher lows, you always give the market that slight upside bias. And that is what we're doing at the moment.
So there's a slight upside bias then.
Yeah, because you're making higher lows every time you're falling. Every time the market has fallen, it has made higher lows on the chart. So we're going to give the market a slight upside bias here. But with that being said, the one caveat that everybody needs to take away from, if we take out and we make a lower low from the previous lows, then that would cause real concern. And that would tell me we're going to break down very, very sharply. But that has not happened yet, so we just give the market the benefit of the doubt for the time being.
All right. So what about precious metals?
Well, it looks like I'll use gold, since that's really what everybody wants to look at. Right now, gold is in a consolidation phase. It's actually been pulling back slightly. When you look at the daily chart, it's below its 50-day moving average by just a little bit. The weekly and monthly charts are still very, very strong for gold. So I think gold right now is in what we call a pullback phase, and it's basically a sideways consolidation that goes slightly lower. And I ultimately think gold is coiling for the second half of 2020 to break out.
Hey, and one thing, hey, I wanted to point out, and I agree with you on that, you know, it had a really good advance. So it's not unusual. This would be the kind of pattern that you would really expect. You wouldn't expect it to keep going up and up and up.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't want, if you're bullish gold, you wouldn't want it to go up and up and up, simply for the reason that you'll get what we call a blow off top. Anytime something goes parabolic to that degree, it has to come back in. Gold, all it did was it retraced a little over 50% from the 2011 peak to the 2015 low. So it was due to consolidate, and that's exactly what it's doing. I still think the gold chart looks extremely constructive to the upside. It's just in what we call a resting period, a pause period. This is where you consolidate. And again, I'll just be watching it and let it tell it. I'll let the pattern unveil itself to me going forward.
Hey, and then, you know, you called for a higher U.S. dollar. It went up to 99 and change. Now it's back down to 97. Civil unrest, Nick, all over the world. And my only surprise is that the dollar hasn't broken 100.
It will. It will. Right now, the dollar is just like funny, because gold is pulling back and so is the dollar, right? Those two are always historically supposed to trade opposite of each other. And here you can see that they're kind of trading with each other. But the dollar now, I'm still very bullish the dollar. Dollar probably needs to pull back to around 96 on the index. And once it does that, I think it's a buying opportunity again.
Buying opportunity. Interest rates still, what are we looking there? How much lower can they go?
No, I think interest rates are bottom. The last time I was on your program, and remember, I'm the guy that was on the program saying they were going to go lower, below 2%. Now I'm the guy on the program saying interest rates are going higher. So I'm bullish interest rates right now. I think bonds have peaked, and interest rates should head higher. I think last time I was on your program, I said that, and I got some emails from some people saying, the whole financial media is looking for rates to go to zero. What are you talking about? And I said, that's not me. I think yields are headed up. They'll pause a little bit. They're not going to go straight up in a straight line. But I think if you're looking at the 10-year U.S. Treasury note yield, you're going to go test 190 again. Once it breaks 190, you got to watch out, because this thing could go to 250 in a flash. So, you know, we're going to go back up to 190. The low yield, I believe, was on September 3rd. And that was 1.429%. So let's call it 1.43%. Now we're at 180. So we're going up to test 190 again. When you break through 190, especially on a weekly close, I mean, this goes to 250, and that'll get some eyes going.
Huh. Interesting. Well, none of the experts are predicting this here, Nick.
No. You won't hear this on the financial news networks except this one.
So does that mean the stock market's going to head lower at that point, or is it not going to matter?
No, I don't think the stock market heads lower because the stock market was fearing that bond yields were going to go, U.S. rates were going to go negative. So I think the stock market will start to go negative when yields start to get, you know, significantly above 2%. I think that's when the market will view it as a negative. Right now, the markets are viewing it as a positive. And you see bank stocks lately have been very, very strong. Take a look at just J.P. Morgan, which I call, you know, I use it like a bank ETF. That stock right now is making new all-time highs. So, you know, when that happens, you got to just look at it and say, okay, banks are moving higher in the U.S. and yields are moving up. The market seems to like that right now. So the market was starting to fear lower interest rates, and now it is actually rejoicing over a higher yield on the 10 and 30 year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I guess, we looked at the dollar. I guess we should look at oil then.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Silver One Resources is an exploration and development company backed by strategic investors Eric Sprott and SSR Mining. The company is focused on its Candelaria mine project in Nevada, where there is already a historic resource estimated at 127 million ounces of silver. The Candelaria mine historically was the highest grade silver producer in Nevada, generating over 68 million ounces of silver at an amazing average production rate of over 1,250 grams per ton. The project has tremendous expansion potential, as past drilling has outlined find deeper, high-grade silver targets for future drill programs. Silver One is highly leveraged to the price of silver and is cashed up and poised to increase shareholder value. Silver One trades in New York under the ticker SLVRF and in Toronto under the ticker SVE. To learn more, go to SilverOne.com. That's SilverOne.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Yeah, if we take a look at crude, crude has been kind of on the weaker side. I don't think that's a real negative for stocks, nor do I think it's a negative for investors. But crude really has come down in early October. I believe it was on the 3rd of October, and it traded down as low as $51. Now, 51 is a pivotal level because that was also the August lows and also the early June lows. So if that level gets taken out on a weekly close, crude will immediately trade down to around 44 bucks, and that's where it's going to find some support. So I do think crude is vulnerable to go lower. It hasn't given me a sell setup yet, but I'm watching it closely because it is ultimately going down there, I think.
Yeah. And is that just the demand, the supply, or world economies? What are you thinking?
Well, it's all of the above, right? So you have a lot of different technologies out there, especially in the car world with electric cars. You have new cars coming out that are going to be run on fuel cells. Toyota's working on a hydrogen car. A lot of companies have made the shift towards some type of alternative type vehicle, whether it's a hybrid or something along those lines. So that they've definitely eaten into the use of oil, but we're not going to be off of oil. We need oil to survive. I mean, you have to make plastics, you have to make paint, you need tires. Tires are made with oil. I mean, there's so many products that are on our desk that, in fact, every one of them includes oil. So, yeah, oil. The need for oil may not be as robust, but it definitely is still going to be, it's going to be very sought after and still needed.
Yeah, we're not going off of oil anytime soon. Hey, look, I was doing a little research on this, Nick. There's about 1.4 billion cars in the world right now. Of that, less than 0.1% are EV electrics. Okay, so let's assume that we can ramp it up. Last year, we sold in the U.S., around the world, roughly 80 million vehicles, cars and light trucks. Of that, less than 2 million were EVs. So to get to the point where we're producing 100 million EVs, or 80 million EVs, just to cover what we're doing now, right? Just to cover replacement sales. Because in parts of the world like China and the third world, these aren't replacement sales. These are, a lot of them are first-time auto owners, you know? But when you get to the developed world, it's all replacement. So let's assume that the new car market will double to 160 million units. You're still going to need 10 years to replace every gasoline car on the road. And that is that's being wildly, wildly optimistic to think that it can happen, you know?
Right. And like we said before, oil has other uses. If you just look at the calculator on your desk, it's probably plastic and it's made with some type of a petroleum product. You look at anything that we use, whether it's paint, plastics, automobile tires or parts, it has some type of a petroleum-based technology in there. So, I mean, you're not cutting off of fossil fuel anytime soon. That's why I said there's probably a floor in oil around the mid-40s.
Yeah. Yeah, and hey, look, even if, 80 million cars and half of them might be replacement, or two-thirds are probably replacement, three-quarters, 60 million, 20 million new car owners every year, that's just not enough. Even if they all went EV, every single new car became EV, every replacement car. I mean, that's like, it just can't happen the way that they're saying in the time that it can, because.
And don't forget, every part inside of an EV car has petroleum products in it too.
Oh yeah. All the insulation, the wires.
Just look at what your car is made out of and what we sit in. You know, there's a lot of plastics in there. There's a lot of paint product in there. Tires again, you know, we're not getting off petroleum anytime soon.
And, you know, people point to, you know, they'll point to like, well, we in 10 years, like there were a billion VCRs out there. Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, but you can't build, you can't double the world's capacity of, you know, of new vehicles overnight. I don't care how much, how big the demand, you just can't do that. There are constraints to the supply chains for these vehicles. In fact, vehicle sales have been going down. They're down in China. Anyways, I didn't want to get into a whole EV debate here with you, Nick, but you know, you could just see that this thing is not the way everybody thinks it is. That
I agree. There's no debating. I agree wholeheartedly.
But a lot of people really do believe this, you know? And anyways.
A lot of people believe in the New Green Deal. New Green Deal, they'd be starving.
Oh yeah. Well, we'd go extinct. Maybe that is the goal here, right? To go extinct?
Maybe. Possibly.
It's a ridiculous notion, and it's just not going to happen. But hey, people want to dream, let them dream. And I don't think the petroleum economy has been so bad for the world, you know?
No, it hasn't. You know. And I'm in the camp that you know, people just are out there, they're thinking that oil is going to, you know, plunge to zero and we're never going to use fossil fuels. That's absurd. You need fossil fuels. That's why we are in society where we are. Yeah. And thank goodness for it. And again, sure. Mid-40s, that's kind of the floor for oil right now.
Yeah. Yeah. We still need that stuff. So the reports of oil's death are greatly exaggerated. Hey, are there any other markets that you're watching out there that we need to be looking closely at?
Well, we've covered quite a few of them today. So I think the bond market is really, I have a position in the TBT, which is basically a play on yields to go higher. And so so that's something that I'm watching pretty closely. As I said before, I think that's probably one of the most important markets that traders can follow. Then you have healthcare names. I'm keeping them on the radar as well. The more, you know, we get closer to socialist, democratic front runner, you know, those stocks could come under some pressure. So I'm watching those equities pretty closely as well. And, you know, basically, like I said before, as long as we have light volume out here, give the overall market indexes a slight upside bias. But when you see a sell-off with heavy volume, then you got to be really concerned. These markets can come down pretty quickly.
Yes, they can. And then they'll always come down at the time when you least expect it, right?
That's always the way it is. The market has a way of fooling most of the people most of the time.
And here, Abe Lincoln said you could only fool some of the people some of the time. But it looks like the markets get to fool just about everybody all the time. And that's the way they're designed to work, I guess. Because if everybody knew what was going to happen, then there wouldn't be any mystery in life. And there'd be no reason to subscribe to InTheMoneyStocks.com, right?
That's 100% correct, Kerry.
Well, anyway, you know, it's always great having you on. Take a look at Nick's site. It's must reading. Whether you're a trader or whether you're just somebody who's concerned about the economy and you follow it regularly like I do, it's definitely the place to be. Hey, questions, comments for Nick, myself, where do you think these markets are heading? I'd like to know your opinion. We're going to be having a new contest again shortly to guess the price of gold. I'm going to start it on Halloween and end it December 31st. Where do you think the price of gold is going to be by December 31st? Don't enter yet. I'm going to do it a little more formally. We have to have rules. One entry per customer. I had people put in 20, 30 entries. Can't have that. Anyway, Nick, we'll catch up with you in a month, man. Always a pleasure. Be well.
Thank you, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.